Take marker, The Mandalorian Season 1, Chapter 3 and 4, guys. Stay tuned.
Action. I alone have information that reveals this weapon's only weakness. And you, my friend, are responsible for delaying my rendezvous with Star Command! You are a toy!
You gotta put your past behind you. Look, kid, bad things happen, and you can't do anything about it, right?
Right.
Wrong! When the world turns its back on you, you turn your back on the world.
You must be imaginative, strong-hearted. You must try things that may not work. And you must not let anyone defy your limits because of where you come from. Your only limit is your soul.
Honey!
What?
Where's my super suit?
What?
Where is my super suit? We are talking about the greater good!
Greater good! I am your wife! I'm the greatest good you are ever gonna get!
You are listening to Alamo City Disney Podcast, the Disney Couple Edition, guys, where we take the magic and bring it right to your ears.
What's going on, Alamo City Muay Thai fans? I'm Ryan D, aka Ryan 680.
I'm Angela, that cat lady Ange.
And this is our review of The Mandalorian Season 1, Chapter 3 and 4. We're doing both episodes, guys. This is our review of both episodes. We're talking about spoilers, ladies and gentlemen. So if you have not seen it, be sure to check it out, which I'm pretty sure we all have seen it by now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, right? Most, I think that's the big push factor of people getting Disney Plus.
Most of America has watched this already. Let's just be honest. And by the way, guys, happy late Thanksgiving, happy holidays, guys, from the Alamo City Movie Talk. Well, I'll probably be saying that throughout the episode, so just letting you know, guys, wish everyone have a happy, safe, and very grateful holiday season, guys, because I mean, we got a lot to be thankful and grateful for about in the holiday season. So let's get right to it, guys. It's Mandalorian, man. I mean, let's get right to the adventures of the Mandalorian. Chapter 3, we're talking the Sin. And it's funny because I was just like, these episodes are going by obviously they're pretty quick, like 40 minutes, 43 minutes around that range. And a lot of people are against it, and a lot of people are like so against the releasing episode per week. And I'll mention that all time and time again. I'm just like, do you like that or no?
Me personally, no.
Okay.
Because I like to binge watch and I like the closure. Yeah. So if I can, I will watch all the episodes in a day or two. I like having that. I don't like waiting.
Hey, the struggle of Game of Thrones. It was real.
I know,
the struggle
was real. But I know, but we didn't like deal with that for all of 7 seasons. So, yeah. I mean, I know that's a thing. Like,
yeah.
Most people who have shows that they like, you know, not just Game of Thrones, like Shameless and all that stuff. It's a week by week basis, and that's normal. But for me, I just can't wait that long. Like, I just want to know, get it over with. That way I know that whole season, and that can be for the new season. But I mean, I get it. I mean, I can understand that.
And see, I'm actually for it, because I understand it, because I was just like, I know for a fact Disney was not going to release this all at once, because I was just like, they don't want to be like Netflix. They don't. They want to stay away from that. And so then I was just like, well, we come to a point of our lives and a point in digital lives and streaming world is that we demand all of it to be. And it's funny because I'm just like, what? I was like, remember back in the day, we have to wait every week.
Right, but back in the day, like now.
We're not back in the day, but
But you know what I mean? Like when we were younger and, you know, shows, or certain shows were popular, you'd wait every week. You know, that was the thing. You would wait every week, set DVR, whatever. Yeah. But I mean, I like the fact that there are streaming services like Netflix that just release the whole season. That way you can watch it as your leisurely.
I'm against it.
But I can understand why you're being against it. I mean, I can understand, like, I realize, like, when certain shows on Netflix come out, a lot of spoilers come out, too.
Yeah,
they and do. A lot of
really
people.
Really,
it's not so much people.
People ruin it.
Yeah, well, it's not so much people ruining it on purpose. I just think that there's certain things that they, like, memes. Memes are a thing. So they'll take, like, a snapshot from something, like a show, and just, like, put it everywhere.
And by all means, they did take a lot of snapshots of the child on this one. And
let's
get right to it. All right, so Chapter 3, The Sin. I mean, let's go into it. I mean, the cuteness of the child was
My God.
I mean, getting out of the crib alone on the way back, I was just like, man, that's so cute. He kept playing with the little ball.
I feel like the internet just controls. Fallen in love with the child overnight, like episode one,
And it's funny too, because even the controversy, everyone was calling it Baby Yoda. Everyone, I mean, I'll say it again. Disney has officially said it's called the Child. So therefore, we're going to call it the Child until furthermore, everyone knows about Baby Yoda or Baby Yaddle. Or I mean, it could be, you know, it has to be one of the two, obviously. And a lot of people don't know Yaddle because it was before The Phantom Menace. You did see a glimpse of her in Phantom Menace. You have to really like pause it and understand it, and because she's only in that one tiny scene, and that's it. She didn't say anything, I don't think. And so unless you go into hardcore Star Wars research, which I'm pretty sure a lot of us have, she's in there, but everyone's saying Baby Yoda because we all know Baby Yoda. I mean, we all know Yoda. You know what I'm saying? We all know. Everyone knows Yoda.
Yeah, he's a iconic main character.
Yeah, he's iconic. So
in the whole franchise.
Yeah, him and Darth Vader. And so here's the thing. I'm just like, okay, that's cool. But Disney did say it's a child, so we're going to keep calling it that. So this child was just, wow. It's
the cutest.
Yep.
Won my heart over. Take my money, Disney.
Another toy, I guess you could say. And there is rumor that the toys are going to be released right before the holiday season, right before Christmas. So that's going to be a huge, you know,
why not? Yeah. I mean, why not?
Everyone's going to want to buy it. I mean, come on. Everyone, Disney, everything, guys. I mean, come on. Mickey knows how to make that money. So I did notice in this one was the Imperial badge. Mm. Whenever he went back to collect his bounty, the Imperial badge was very, I was just like, wow, that's a huge thing. So I'm just curious as to the Empire's fallen. Obviously, this is right. They're saying this is 5 years after the Return of the Jedi. So they talk about in the books, of course, canon, non-canon, whatever you want to say it. They even talk about, like, it just, the Empire didn't fall overnight. I mean, it took a while for it to fall. Then the Emperor fell, then everything else started falling. So, in regards to this, this is the Outer Rim area. This is, you know, obviously no Skywalkers have been there, and there's no mention of Skywalkers around this point. But we have to, I mean, it's true fact. Luke Skywalker's alive. Han, Solo, Leia, they're all alive. They're all alive and well. This is during their prime, right after the prime time, right after Return of the Jedi. Now, in regards to this, I'm just like, why is the Imperial, how does the Imperial still have a strong hold on bounties and everything? I mean, they gave a lot of bounties to everything. I mean, and here's the thing. I'm just like, how do they have so much money and power to be? I mean, the stormtroopers look, they look beaten up. And even at that point, I'm just like, man, they look, well, they shoot like a typical stormtrooper too, by the way.
Well, I mean, like how, okay. So I know this, no connection, but yeah. I mean, obviously the Empire is still around somewhere, right? There's still this presence.
Well, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but like, is it called the Empire? Is this,
I don't know,
the beginning of, like, I know the First Order is,
hopefully we'll get further more down the line. Hopefully we'll get more in the background story of this, because I mean, it really doesn't shed too much light on it. We don't know too much about it. We just know that it's there, and obviously they have a power of some sort.
Yeah, it's just curious how, like, they're still around.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of like the Mandalorian has like the full suit. Well, see, the stormtroopers have the full suit.
Yeah, but here's the thing though. The Mandalorians are in exile. The Empire killed them off.
Yes.
Thought they did. And I love it because, man, that's just, wow. Okay, I would just skip forward. First off, the stormtroopers, they do not know how to shoot. I mean, the Mandalorians are born killers. They're born trained
soldiers.
Killers. So
they're soldiers.
Oh, man. They're mercenaries. It's in their blood. It's in their religion. And I love it because it's just, wow. Like, I don't know if everyone's ever, I mean, I'm pretty sure people have seen it. Clone Wars. I mean, we saw him a lot in Clone Wars. Sabine is a Mandalorian from Rebels. I mean, we've seen it so many times when it comes down to it in the animation world. We've never seen it in a live action. Mm-hmm. So now, but I think I've gotten to a point of this season. I'm just like, I wanted to see Mandalore, but Mandalore is already destroyed, I think. I think they destroyed Mandalore and everything. We don't know until we get into it, but it looks like from the stuff that we got so far, they did. I mean, it hasn't, like, I have to do a little bit more research, but Mandalore has to have been at least destroyed.
Well, obviously there was some war
that
was going on where, you know, the main character was.
Yeah.
When he was a child, he has flashbacks. Obviously when their armor is being forged you know, there's some sort of war. So maybe you're right. Mandalore did fall.
And that's why they're in exile. Because they're hiding. And here's the thing. Of course, he gets the new suit. The new suit. And everyone just...
Schmancy.
And even the Mandalorian, the one I was creating, she's all like, everyone's going to be after you. Like,
yeah. Well, because for one, I mean, the metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it comes from.
But, and that is true armor right there. You could tell that was true armor because when he got shot at, it didn't even go through. You shoot at a stormtrooper, that armor is just crap. It's just like, you could... you could shoot at a stormtrooper, boom, the armor is supposed to protect him, but it really doesn't. It doesn't protect him.
We know this from like all the movies.
Every single Star Wars movie ever. Luke or Han Solo, they would shoot, or even Chewbacca, even the Ewoks. The armor sucks. The Ewoks freaking threw rocks at it and it freaking didn't do any. I was just like, what? How can this withstand lasers?
Yeah, but I mean, again.
Can we see Ewoks in this?
I think the clone and stormtroopers were more like. Right. Quantity over quality. Their armor wasn't supposed
they're
to
just
be
like, oh, you're a dummy, let's get you one. Okay, good. Oh yeah, just get you and you. Okay, so going furthermore into this, I was just like, man, that Mandalorian fight scene was wow, that intense scene between them and the bounty hunters. I was just like,
where the exiled Mandalorians, yeah, I was just come like, save the day,
dude. I was just like, because whenever he was about to that climax of that episode, I was just like, man, he's gonna, I don't know. I kind of wanted the child to wake up and to do something, to put a force push. But then again, I was just like, no, I didn't want that, because I was just at the end. I didn't want that, but I wanted it at the moment, because I was just like, I didn't want to be too predictable.
Well, for me, we've already seen the power that the child has, obviously, when he goes against the creature.
Yeah.
When he's trying to get the egg. But I think for him to save the Mandalorian twice in a row,
it's too predictable.
It's a little bit too predictable, right. Especially at like one episode after the other.
At the end, I was just like, okay. But as a fan, I was just like, oh my god, the child needs to do something. But then, I was very surprised though. I'll admit it. I was very surprised. Like the Mandalorians came out of nowhere and they fought. And it's funny too, because you could tell how powerful they are. Just one Mandalorian takes out like five bounty hunters. They're just
very
nothing.
Skilled, trained, efficient. I mean, they still got it.
And it's crazy though, because even at the time though, even during the episode, they're just like, only one of us has to come out. We all can't come out because it only because they'll know that we're there.
Well,
and even at the end, even that flamethrower guy, I mean, the one that was doing the flame, I was like, dude, man, that was awesome. I loved it because I loved how every single body armor the Mandalorians, and we mentioned it, oh no, we never did a Rebels review, but we saw it in Rebels that every single Mandalorian, they may have the same body armor, but they don't. They all have their different looks,
right.
Their different outlooks, their different symbols they like to put on them, their different color schemes.
Their
you saw that in Sabine.
Yeah.
Sabine too. I mean, her signal, awesome. her spray painting of all the stormtroopers back in Rebels.
But I mean, and Sabine was a little different because she was like an artist by nature.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean,
okay.
It wasn't just like... just because but, she was Mandalorian, she was like this. But
it was in general. It's just the Mandalorians. They may have them in the end. They may have the same symbol, but they don't at the same time.
No, they don't.
They all have their own characteristics.
Well, because they asked him whenever he had the whole stack of the metal.
Yeah.
Like, what's your signet?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like everyone has their own special thing for them, and I like that. Like, I like you can tell they can tell just by the armor that they're Mandalorian. Even like you said, they're different.
Oh yes. And it's funny too, because everyone knew he's Mandalorian, and it's funny because no one wants to mess with the Mandalorian. They knew, have you heard the stories of the Mandalorian? Have you heard the stories of
it's
that?
Funny because it's like almost like a folktale, like your people used to
you're
do
extinct.
This
yeah
like you guys are great warriors, you're skilled, like they just know the Mandalorian,
they just know, guys. All right, so that scene was amazing. Of course, I just, you know, that was a really good fight scene, I'll say that. And you know, it's not too I don't want to say it's over the top either, because I didn't want it to be over the top. I just wanted it to be just enough. And I felt like Jon Favreau really gave it all when it came down to it. I really think they gave it to a certain extent. I was just like, okay, story needs to be told, but don't go overboard, because obviously this isn't the climax episode, I guess you could say, where there's more.
That would kind of suck if it was.
To be honest, I the way they're doing it, because The Mandalorian, the title, The Mandalorian, that's like, I would love to, I mean, so cheesy, The Mandalorian Adventures. I mean, because it's him. On his adventures to system.
But that's so cheesy.
Right?
Mandalorian
so cheesy.
Adventures. Just
so
put it
cheesy.
The Mandalorian.
I'll call it
a sitcom.
That. I know, right? And we'll call it that, the sitcom. So the Mandalorians came from exile, and at the very end of that episode, they actually did say that they had to relocate now. So hopefully we'll see them in the future. I wonder how they communicate the relocation and everything. Probably do code or something like that.
That also questions, like, we saw like a pretty handful of them, you know, and that one
more
place.
Than a handful, I think,
right? But like, is that the only faction of the remaining Mandalorian survivors? Right,
I don't think
so. I mean, I think that they'll just take whatever faction they have
and
just
move on
somewhere
and see. I can't wait to see them. I mean, I want to see them all together, get
that
all the
be
factions
really
together and try to overthrow. Because, I mean, let's be honest, that'll be a battle to see, man. I mean, I love seeing them in Clone Wars. I mean, it just,
If I could tell you were real excited watching just them come together. and she hit Darth Vader. take out the bounty hunters. I mean, that was pretty cool. I mean, I could tell how excited you were, but to see them come together again for a greater purpose.
Because let's be honest, it's never been touched in a Star Wars movie / action, any live action. It has been no touch whatsoever of the Mandalorians. And now to see this, I'm just like, man. And of course, we didn't get any of their helmets off, which is another thing, because I'm just like, that's your religion too, in a point to where because that's what they grew up. They were born with those helmets. When they come out of the womb, they're born with those helmets. I'm just kidding.
No, but I just think it's like, it's ingrained in them. That's their culture. They don't remove it in front of somebody.
Yeah. And we'll go into chapter 4, ladies and gentlemen. Chapter 4, Sanctuary. And I mean, there's no better word for this episode. I mean, sanction. I mean, you're going into a place, you're trying to find a system that doesn't have any imperial control or any bounty hunters, really.
Right.
Or no technology advance. And
right. So you have basically like the Mandalorian and the child have to find a place to kind of lay low and avoid the bounty that's now on them.
Yeah. And I love it too, because it actually shows us a little it shows us a little adventure at the planet and everything. And I love so much about it. I love it a lot. Also, we did get a live action of the Lothcat.
Oh,
I was all like,
was
oh my god. I was all Angela.
He paused and he was like, wait a minute.
I was all like, the child just looked at something and something hissed at it. I was like, that looks so damn familiar. Oh, wait, that's from Rebels, ladies and gentlemen.
That was great.
That's from Rebels. I was like, man, that is awesome. Because I know that was one of your favorite characters in Rebels. Like creatures.
Animals, creatures.
Yeah, because I don't think we ever saw him ever until Rebels came out. And then they were actually, later in the season, they actually became somewhat an importance to Ezra and all that.
Well,
so,
because it had to do with like the force,
the midichlorians, the life, all life forms and everything. All life forms are connected. Oh yeah, that's not a copyrighted Avatar. Lothcats, I love that a lot from Rebels. The Mandalorian tech, you know, the tech tracking, I was just like, damn, that's some really good tech track. When it came down to the footprints and everything, mm-hmm. that's how you know they're born mercenaries, and how their technology was really just to take down their enemy, to take down their prey, because they were the predators and you're their prey. I love that about it, because I was just like, damn.
Skill hunters.
Yep, skill hunters. But obviously, this Mandalorian wasn't skilled enough to take out our, you know, we did get a new character in here. Her actress name is Gina.
I think Carano.
Carano, MMA fighter, ladies and gentlemen. And my god, she is a force to be reckoned with. She this Mandalorian was... Cool. This, he didn't think it was gonna be too that.
She gave
hard.
Him a run for his money.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Which was in that fight scene, she bested him a little bit.
Oh yeah.
But
and we have not gotten an exact name for the Mandalorian yet, so that's what we're calling just the Mandalorian until we get exact name for it. But what were you gonna say? I'm sorry if I interrupted you.
Oh no! I was just gonna say I thought that their meeting, like their first chance meeting, like how they kind of notice each other right away, and then they kind of snuck away and then like battle each other, and then she bested him. I think that's pretty. Cool.
Yeah, she did. I hate to say it, but and another thing too, I'm just like, what did he call her? He called her because she said that she was at Endor and she was
her position. I think was. I think she explained it was
shocker.
No, she was some sort of like she was supposed to be clearing up the mess that was left on Endor or something. Yeah. They gave like her official title, but I think it's like a quick little scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was like working on Endor with other soldiers,
and it looks like she escaped or some sorts. And then when she escaped, she thought that he was after her or something like that.
Yeah, so I think that's
why she attacked.
Yeah,
him.
So there was like miscommunication there. They kind of become, you know,
they assumed amicable. That they were both. It's funny, they both assumed that they were after each other,
which is funny because I mean, I feel like people like on the run are like that. They're just like everyone who looks fishy. You're just like they're after me.
They're after me. Exactly.
But I mean, you kind of have to be though.
Yeah,
you know, you don't trust anybody. I liked her a lot. She was very likable from that first scene. And I liked how they went on an adventure together.
Yeah, and I mean, right when the Mandalorian is actually about to leave, he gets encountered by these. I love it too, because we actually get a backstory. The beginning of this episode, we actually get a little bit backstory of the planet itself. So we do get a backstory of it, of
like
the
a
farmers.
One village.
Yeah,
like
which
a
I like
farmers,
it. Which I
peaceful.
Like it, because like that's why I'm calling it the Mandalorian Adventures, because he's just saving everybody now. So going into this planet, these farmers contacted the Mandalorian, found him right before he was leaving, and they're all like, oh, we heard the stories of the Mandalorian. You are born mercenaries. And then he gave them money, and then the Mandalorian was all like, well, I got money. You know, right. I got, like, I mean, he didn't come out and say that, but he gave all the money to this other assassin, which her name is
Cara Dune.
Cara Dune. So
I liked it because I liked how they started the episode.
She whooped butt, by the way.
What?
She whooped that butt, by the way.
Okay. I liked how they, like you said, they gave a backstory on why the villagers or the farmers want to contact or want, they're trying to hire someone. Why? Yeah. Because, you know, their village is being pillaged by invaders. I don't know. Do they call the group any names?
No, they're just creatures. I don't think I ever seen those creatures before, actually.
I don't remember specifically seeing them, but
you're just hitting Darth Vader all over again.
this village is being attacked, so they're trying to hire someone to kind of take care of the problem. That way they can go about their peaceful lives. Yeah. And I think it's really funny how at first the Mandalorian is like, nope, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Adios. But then, you know, I guess...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So then right when he's leaving, he's all like... You're in the middle, and they said they're in the middle of nowhere. There's just a farm down in the middle of nowhere. He's like, in the middle of nowhere? I was like, I need to get lost. I need to be lost off the maps.
Yeah, it's really funny how he like ends up over there. He's like, okay, I'll help. But then he knows that he can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting how when he contracts Cara Dune to help him, you know, fight this evil that he doesn't know, when they're going on to the forest and, you know, they use that technology to track the footprints, man. They come across.
And then of course, they come across, ladies and gentlemen, an AT-ST, which is, you know, I call it the AT-ST situation. And it's just like, man, this is a tough break for them. I mean, I'm just like, wow, this is an Imperial Walker.
Which, that's also interesting. How in the world
did that get there? Yeah.
Like, and how did these... clan of creatures, how did they acquire that?
I didn't see any Imperial flags or any broken Imperial. It didn't look like Imperials were it didn't look like any Empire was really there or based there. So and then he also even searched the planet for technology, and it said there was no Imperial, there was nothing there. So that's why he chose that planet. So I was just like, well, so how? Yeah,
that's the big big takeaway.
I don't think it's too much of a big question, though. I'm just like, maybe it was just randomly, maybe just randomly brought it there.
I don't think so. I mean, I think
A stronger connection there?
I think there is, with the whole Imperial presence, you know.
But he was going back to his ship at the very end.
I don't know. I just think it's a bigger question. It just can't be a random one-off situation. Yeah. There's got to be a reason why that Imperial ATST was there.
Yeah.
Why? It just, maybe it's all connected. Maybe not. Mm. I could be wrong. No, but no. I think that's a bigger question. Like, why was this there? How was this there? And then, you know, I don't know. I just think there's I'm a big fan of conspiracy theories.
Oh, gosh.
So I would love to see like this,
we'll find out,
entangled web of like Imperial force.
I don't think it's gonna have too much importance. I think it was a one and done thing. I kind of feel like he's gonna go on to the next system and figure out another encounter and another another task to uphold. And you know, I kind of think that it's gonna go that route. So that, let's go to that fight scene, of course, that sequence. And I was just like, wow, like I like how realistic it was, because they were both afraid of this AT-ST, because they were just
because I mean,
it took out what's her name? She also said like it took out like a whole.
She's saying it's taken out legions of trained soldiers, and in a
matter of minutes,
right? In a matter of minutes, and you have and they're trying to defend a group of defenseless, weaponless farmers.
There's Jedi. There's no. I mean, there's nothing. They don't have any stronger defense. There's no rebels. There's no rebellion.
They're not fighters. Yeah, they're not trained any ways in combat.
I don't know. Did you kind of like that little entourage they were trying to do? Like the like how they were doing the entourage, like training the soldiers. It was like. Dun, dun, dun. Like, they weren't doing no music, but it was just I liked it.
As far as, the only thing that was confusing for me was the timeline. If it was like a day that they were doing that would not be believable. To me,
it felt like it was just a day, because the way it was formatted,
if it was like a couple days, that would be more realistic.
Yeah.
But if it was a whole day, they set up the barrier, they set up the hole that they, you know, used to entrap the AT-ST, if they trained in combat and everything and forged weapons in one day, that doesn't make sense to me.
Wake up early in the morning and get started. We could do that.
I don't think so. That's a lot of work. But anyways, that was the only thing that was strange for me.
I did not mind that fight scene too, of course, the farmer fight scene. I actually didn't mind it at all, because I was just like, it was very realistic when it came down to it, because I was just like, man, they got to fight this AT-ST, and I'm just like, man, what's gonna happen? They have no Jedi, no rebellion, nothing. They have no reinforcements. This is all they have. That's it. I was surprised how much weapons they had. The Mandalorian had a lot of weapons. I was like, damn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, damn, she's had a lot of weapons. I was like, wow.
Yeah, he's stocked. He's pretty well stocked. I'm pretty sure he's pretty smart cookie when it comes to that.
And what do you call that was a pretty crazy thing. And then also we did get hints of him trying to take off his helmet. I was like, wow, okay.
That was interesting.
And then he did take off his helmet. I love how they did the weight on it because they...
No, you were upset about that. He's like, show me his face.
Yeah, I know. I was like, show me your face. Show me your face right now.
But I get it. I don't think it was an important scene, even though he had, I guess, a connection with the one woman who took him in.
Yeah.
A
strong connection. Yeah. I was just like, man, he's in the gear with...
But I just...
She even mentioned it too. The other mercenary, she even mentioned it too. Yeah. The MMA fighter. She was just like, you could stay here. You could grow a family. You could, you know, just. But he was just like, no, I can't. Like, and at a time he was gonna leave the child there, but then obviously that didn't work out. That's another question I have too. How are they? I mean, obviously they're tracking it with the tracker, but how does the tracker know where it is? How does it track it? Like, is there a tracker in it?
Programming. I don't know.
Is there a tracker in it? Is it because of the high midichlorian count? Or is it...
I don't know.
There's so many questions.
Exactly they're tracking.
Who tracked it? Who put the tracker in him, if there is a tracker in him?
I mean, he was in, you know, the random group's control for how X many hours, maybe a day. I mean, who knows? They could have put a tracker in.
No, but it was before that, though. That's how the Mandalorian got him, too.
And that's the thing, like...
Yeah.
Would you consider all the bounties like that? Because he had those trackers with other bounties.
Yeah, no? All the bounty hunters.
So then what is it?
We can only assume that every single bounty hunter comes in contact with where that guy was at. We can only assume how many. I mean, he said he gave everybody one. So, I mean, everyone wanted that big task. And then obviously the Empire.
Most failed.
Yeah, everyone failed pretty much except him.
And the bounty droid.
Except the Mandalorian. Yeah, and the bounty droid. So then I also loved it too, because at the very end, they were even saying it. He was just saying it. He was just like, you came all this way. There's a, you know, she was the farmer. She was trying to convince him, like, you came all this way and everything. And then I loved it because I love it when he said it. The Mandalorian said, this is the way. Like, I was just like, dude, man, that's freaking Mandalore, man. I was just like, dude, that's Mandalorian all over it. I love how they just say those quotes like that, those sayings, and just I love it.
I don't know. I just it would not make sense to me for him to stop right there.
Of course not. There's no way. Yeah.
Especially if he's come all this way and done all this all his life, for the most part. I mean, to just have like one encounter with the farmer girl and, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can retire.
Right. All right. Now let's rate this two episodes. So chapter three, what are you going to rate? One being the lowest and 10 being the highest. Chapter three.
I'll say like a 7.
Okay.
A solid 7, I think.
All right. I'm probably going to give it a 7 as well. I'm going to stay with you on that. Just because of the battle scene, and just because we did get a sense to where the stormtroopers are still terrible shooters. We still get a sense to where the Mandalorians are obviously stronger and smarter, and they're more powerful than what people think. Yeah. They're more powerful than what people think. That's why they were such a huge threat to the Empire. Because, man, they could take out 10, 20 troopers, one Mandalorian, and I love that about it.
Probably more,
yeah. Okay, so 7, chapter 3. Now, chapter 4, Sanctuary. What are you going to leave chapter? I'm going to have to give chapter 4 an 8, just because we got a lot of good shots of the child, of being him being cute. The children were playing with him. He was just cute alone, and then just...
I would say an 8 as well, because I like the story.
And we
the
got
story
man,
in this episode is really good. How
she really, like, I also she hit the Mandalorian to where his helmet hit the floor. I was like, damn, that was a huge punch.
Yeah, remember? Cara Dune's I think also because I really like Cara Dune's character.
Also, it's a good new character to interact with, because I was just like, okay, here's a new character finally. Let's see how he interacts, because he has to carry this movie.
She
does.
She was pretty Mandalorian.
Yeah. She was. Oh, yeah. I'll give that.
Perfect casting. I liked her a lot, and I liked the story, so I would give
awesome. It an 8. So an 8. All right, guys. So chapter 3 is going to be a solid 7, and chapter 4 is going to be a solid 8. All right, guys. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. By the way, give us a thumbs up if you like our review, guys. As always, I'm your host, Ryan D. It can look Ryan680.
Amanda at that Cat Lady Ange.
And this is Alamo City Movie Talk, guys. Movie Talk for movie fans, guys. We bring the movie world right into your ears, devices, in this case, any original series, guys, by the way. So if you haven't already, be sure to look us up on podcast platform. Angela, where people can find you out on Instagram? That crazy cat lady?
At that cat lady Ange.
You can find me at NolanRyan680, guys, on Instagram. Thank you for making us a part of your day. You have yourself a wonderful day. Holidays, guys. Have a good one, guys.
Hello, everyone. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. We truly appreciate the support. Be sure to also check us out on YouTube, guys, where we do strictly movie reviews. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all of your movie news, reviews, and our special giveaways and contests, guys. You know what to do, and you have yourself a wonderful day, and stay classy, San Antonio.